Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grand Valley Christian Center. It's a good day to be alive. This morning, just before I go into prayer, I wanted to tell you a bit of what God's been laying on my heart this morning. I've been thinking about the prodigal, but God said he's not talking to me this morning about the prodigal that many of us have that's way out there not following God. But he was talking to me about the prodigal that can be found in each one of us. In our hearts, the things that make us be complacent to the times, the things that when we've been out of church for a while, that it's just okay not to be doing what I had been doing. The thing that is complacency in us that says it's okay to be mediocre, to be not serving the Lord the way I know I should be, to not do the things that I know he wants me to do, to not give all of me the way that I know that he's calling me to give all of me. So I want to pray this morning that if any of us are feeling that in our spirits, anyone who is feeling that, oh, things are not going to change and I don't really care and I just will let it go and be whatever it is and I'll do whatever I need to do to get by, I want to pray against that, because this is a time, I believe, that God is calling us to rise up and be leaders that God has called each one of us to be in our spirits, in our hearts. So this morning, Lord God, I just lift you up. I thank you that this is not a time to just lay back and do what we want to do, but it's a time to rise up and be who you have called us to be. I want to take time to thank our pastors. I want to thank you for our pastors, our leaders, who have guided us through this time and continue to lead us, Lord God. I thank you that there has been no giving up for them, Lord, that they have not looked back, they have looked forward. And Father, I pray that same spirit this morning would be found in us, because your word says that you have not because you ask not. And so this morning, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would take us to your altar, that you would find us at your altar, and that we would be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of the Lamb, that we would go back to our first love and we would serve with that fervency that you have called us to serve in. Lord God, I thank you this morning, and I pray for those who find themselves in difficult situations, those that are feeling discouraged, those that are dealing with financial or emotional issues or physical illness, those who have prayed and prayed and prayed, and they say there is no hope. God, I pray that you would restore hope in each one of our lives, Lord God, that, Father, we would not be reluctant to ask, because to even ask one more time, because that is what your word says we can do. And so we come to you, and we pray for the churches in this city this morning. We pray that they would rise up and take their places in the kingdom of God. Father, even as our pastors preached, become the culture of the kingdom of God, because that's what we're all about. We want to form that culture in this city. And Lord, we just thank you for that you are alive and you are well and you are calling us forward in such a time as this. We thank you. We pray you bless us. Bless this morning. Let your Holy Spirit come and be part of this service. We invite you, Lord God. Amen. This morning, I just have one announcement that is very important. I find it exciting. I hope you do too. Because next week, September 20th, at 12 o'clock after the service in the morning, is going to be the Grand Valley Christian Center annual meeting of members. It's something that you don't want to miss, because your presence is important that morning. The purpose of the meeting is for members to hear reports from the pastors and board about 2019 and review the 2019 financial statements. The members will also elect the board of directors. If you are a member, an information package including the agenda and reports has been sent to you electronically by mail, email. Non-members who wish to attend may request a copy of the package from the church office. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.
Testing, testing. All right, can you hear me? Praise God. God is good and all the time. Amen. Just such a privilege to be in the church building today and to preach and share the word of God with you, with your actual faces. Amen. Praise God, half of your faces, because the other half is covered with a mask. But you get the point. All right, let's pray. Also, greetings to those that are at home watching us online. We love you too. Let's pray. All right, so Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your faithfulness towards us. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father God, because in the midst of everything, you are God. You are still on your throne. And you are still ruling and reigning, O Heavenly Father, as you see fit. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, O God, that is life and light, O God. It is so powerful, O Heavenly Father God, that when it comes in contact with darkness, darkness is unable to overpower it. And so, Father, let the life and let the light of your word shine in us, O Heavenly Father, to bring out of us, O God, your purposes and your will for our lives today. Lord, we bless you. I pray, O God, that you would speak through me. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity as I express your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk a little bit about holding on to faith in trialing times. All right? It's my accent. You know, we are living in an opportune time in history. You know, before this year, many of us were living life. We were just living life. We had schedules that was calculated. We were kind of bogged down with work, trying to squeeze in time for the family. We had some goals to accomplish, and we even had plans that we needed to set into place or that we wanted to set into place. The world we live in also allowed us to do many things, as it seems like things were under control. It was business as usual. Then 2020 happened. Our schedules were interrupted. Our family life became a new norm, actually, as we juggle working from home. Some goals came to a halt while others surfaced. We lost control because the world we live in stopped functioning the way it used to. There was a readjusting, a time where the world and everybody, we just had to readjust. It has been difficult as well for some. And even now, there are people here or maybe listening that are dealing with things that they just don't even know what to do, how they're going to get over this bump. But then why do I say that we're living in an opportune time in history? You know, I watched basketball, and one of the programs that I watch is called the Inside Guys. It's how I stay updated with the NBA. Now, they had to deal with so much this year. You know, the year began with conflict in China. It was followed up with the loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and those traveling with them. The season was shut down due to COVID-19, and the list continued. But Shaq, overwhelmed on national television, said this: "I wish 2020 didn't happen." You know, and when he said that, you know, you could see the sadness. You can hear the sadness in his voice. But Kenny the Jet Smith responded to him immediately, and he says, "Listen, I've lost a lot this year. But I'm happy that it happened because of the changes I see in my life and the changes that I see in yours." And then he went on to say, "Shaq, you've never told us before that you love us. But every time we meet up and you leave, you say, 'Guys, I want you to know that I love you.'" And then he continued, "You know, I call it an opportune time. Also, because I don't believe that there are a people who are more equipped to deal with hardship than those who believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible's narrative is filled with hardship others face throughout history, and it shares it with us, the power that's available to us to go through hardship and come out on top. In fact, James, the author of the book of James, after he greeted everyone and introduced himself, he said to everyone, hey guys, count it all joy when you go through hardship. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And as you turn, I'll just give you a little bit of background of this scripture. The author of Hebrews was addressing the church that was being persecuted by an emperor called Nero. And let me give you a bit of a background of what was happening. So the Christians at this time were facing hard struggles with suffering. There was lots of pain, lots of distress, lots of misery, lots of agony as some were killed. Christians were losing their lives. Publicly, they were exposed to taunts and afflictions, you know, pain. They were companions to those that was also treated that way. They sympathized with prisoners. They even did ministry in the midst of their suffering. And they faced the confiscation of their property, and they accepted it with joy, because they knew that they had a better and enduring position. You know, yet, they got a little bit weary. They were unwilling, they got to a place where they were unwilling to grow spiritually. They risked forfeiting and forfeiting the rewards God had in store for them. This writer wanted to encourage them to not give up. And so let's read. I'm reading from the ESV version. It says, from verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, it says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. In verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what is this writer's suggestion to us? And I'm not going to talk about it as a historical view, but I'm going to talk about the advice he's given to us for us to utilize practically today, now, in the midst of hardship. So the first thing he said, listen, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure waters. Draw near, he said, but draw near to who? What are we drawing near to? Draw near to God, who has paved a path by the blood and flesh of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Drawing near to God is not dependent on a work, or is it dependent on money or on some form of prophecy we need to receive? No. Jesus did all the work. And we're simply those that receive the finished product of his work. This is the truth for us today when we're thinking about drawing near to God. And it's a truth that produces a true heart. Not only a true heart, but an assurance of faith. Me drawing to God has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus and what he did. And all that is left for you and I to do is to walk in the path provided,
takes the keys that are given and open the door that is in front of us that God has provided for us so that we can enjoy God. And so he said, let us draw near to God. He said, let us draw near with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. You know, I've often encountered those who say to me, man, pastor, I need to get my life right before I can come to God. Have you heard that before? You see, what they're referencing is the sin in their lives. And rightly so, because God is holy. You see, the thing is, you can't be holy, though, outside of God. He is holy, and because he is holy, we can become holy, too. You see, you have to go to the one that is holy to be holy. It's like driving a car that's on empty. And instead of going to the gas station, you go to Bulk Barn. Store that sells candy, for those that don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. In the old covenant God made with his people Israel, Moses took the blood from animals and he sprinkled it on the scroll, which was the law of God, the law that God gave to his people. And then he sprinkled it on the people. He took the blood and then he sprinkled it on the tabernacle and all the articles of worship. And according to the law, almost everything the blood touches is purified, is made holy. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So the sprinkling of our hearts, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus on our hearts, and the washing of our bodies is the referencing to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus in our lives. So for those that believe Jesus has done it for us, there is nothing inhibiting us. There's no barrier for us to draw near to God. He's did it for us, and he has done it in us. And Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify or cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Again, God through Jesus has us covered from back to front. And what he needs us to do is to draw near. And we need to draw near, especially in times of hardship. The second thing he told us to do is say, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. You know, I find it amazing that amid hardship present in history, the gospel thrives. The gospel thrives in hardship. There are more people now listening to the good news of Jesus Christ after COVID-19 when compared to before COVID-19 outbreak. More people are in the Word because this hardship is what? It's worldwide. More people are sensitive to God. The Christians that I speak to, they're telling me of the countless hardships, the stories that they're going through. And the word that they're using is very interesting. They're saying, God is refining me. God is refining us. God is refining our family, and God is refining our church. So people need hope. Saying God is refining, people need hope. So it's not the time, as our elder Debbie said, to waver. It is not the time to quit. Rather, it is the time to confess Jesus to others, that they may enjoy what you are currently enjoying in the midst of hardship. Amen? There's some of us, God has been so good to us in the midst of this hardship. And so it is not for us to be silent about the goodness of God. They are people without Jesus Christ. They don't know what to do. They are confused. The writer of Hebrews is telling us it is not the time to be silent. Let them know what Jesus has done for you. Amen? So that they can be encouraged and not give up. And he says, he who promised is faithful. You see, Jesus' example of faith illustrated in Hebrews 5, 7 and 9. I'm just going to read that because it says this. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Can you imagine? Jesus was drawing near to God with prayer and supplication. And it looked like loud cries and tears. And he offered it up to him who was able to save him from death. And the Bible says, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. What does Jesus' example show us? It shows us that hardship, although difficult, can facilitate a time in which we can draw near to God. Amen? A time of prayer, supplication, with loud cries and tears. What does it offer? An assurance that God hears us when we pray. What does it offer us? Hardship sometimes offers us the experience, the learned knowledge of how to obey God. What does it offer us? It makes us perfect. And finally, we get to witness the fulfillment of God's will for our lives. For Jesus, he became the source of eternal life. See, the Father brought forth out of hardship his will for the Son. And it was done as an example for us today so that we can see and we can declare that God who promised is faithful. Amen? So, brothers, sisters, those that are listening, hold on. Hold on to your confession because God will bring it to pass. Amen? The third thing he told us to do, he said, listen, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works in Hebrews 10, 24. You see, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you're a believer of Jesus, this is God's will for you concerning other believers. We are to stir up. We are to provoke. We are to call forth, produce, arouse, evoke, give rise to, draw forth, inspire, excite, kindle, generate, instigate one another to love and good works. And two things need to happen. We need to see ourselves as a resource. And when we draw near to God, he tells us who we are. And the second thing that needs to happen, you need to see what God has placed in others. See what God has placed in others. Encourage them. Bring it forth. Encourage it out of them. You see, you stand as a resource that pulls out what God has placed in others. Amen? And all done in love. It says in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, God is looking for this type of activity in the church. And it can't be done by sitting on the sidelines. Amen? You know, in order to see stuff in people, it cannot be a hey Sunday and a bye till next Sunday. Can I get an amen? Amen? You got to do life with people. Amen? You have to walk. We have to walk with one another. Amen? We have to see the strengths. We have to walk so close that we begin to see the strengths and the weakness in each other. Amen? And so when we see the strength, we implore each other. We say, hey, brother, keep going. You know, God is able. You know, we say, hey, man, there's nobody that does this like you. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. And when you see the weakness, you don't just be silent. No. When you see the weakness, you go before, you draw near to God. And you say, God, this is my brother and this is his weakness. How? Use me to speak to that. Amen? And so you draw near and you come and you find a way. You look for a way that you can speak to the brother or sister. But you see, let me tell you something. If we are walking close with one another, sometimes you don't even need to pray. You just need to say, brother, sister, listen. I know you're struggling in this area, but God is able. Or you can say, brother and sister, I know you, you're very excellent in all that you do, but I just saw something. I just want to bring it to you, just to, for you to contemplate. I'm not trying to offend you, but I just, what I'm saying in love. And share truth with each other. Amen. Stir up one another. God did not delight back in the days when, in the old covenant, when they brought all kinds of offerings and burnt offerings. He didn't delight in that. What God delights in is when we do his will. It delights God. So, I want to end with this. You are needed. Amen? You are needed, so don't give up. You are needed, so please draw near to God in full assurance of your faith because Jesus made the way. You are needed, so hold on to the confession of your faith that is able to save lives. You are needed to speak life into dead areas of your brothers and sisters, calling the dry bones and prophesying flesh to grow on top of them. Stir up love. Stir up good works. You see, our God is waiting. Our spouses are waiting. Our family is waiting. And our church is waiting. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. This is not a time to quit. This is a time to move forward. Let's rise to our feet. Praise God. You know, we're doing church so differently. But I want to just give you, and if you're listening online, just a chance. If the Lord has spoken to you, if you're encouraged, I want us to draw near to him right now, just for about a minute, 2 minutes. I just want you to talk to him. You say, if you sing, God, I haven't been drawing lately, but, you know, today I'm going to draw. I'm going to come near. You know, if you look at your faith and God has been so good to you and you haven't been holding on to that confession, or have you been sharing that confession? Now is the time to say, God, you know what? I'm going to start sharing the goodness of God in my life with others so that they would be saved. Maybe today, you know, you are seeing others around you. They don't have it all together. You've seen their strengths. You've seen their weaknesses. And you've just seen it, but you've never actually go and say, brother, sister, listen, keep going. Keep going. God is with you. Today is a day that you can reflect on it and let's go near to him. Take a minute, wherever you are, and say, God, I'm renewing, O Heavenly Father God. I've heard your word, O God. And Lord, I don't want the old. I want the new. So Father, in the name of Jesus, give us the grace, O Heavenly Father God. Give us grace and strength, O Heavenly Father God, to not give up in the midst of hardship, but to push forward in full assurance of our faith as we come near you. Because once we are near you, O God, we have everything that we need. Help us, O Heavenly Father God, to confess our faith, O God, to each other. And help us, O Lord, to begin to speak life into dead situations in the lives of our brethren and our sisters. And so, Father, we thank you. We've heard your word. And we pray, O God, that it will bring life to us afresh and anew by the power of your Spirit in work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Be blessed and have a great Sunday, everyone. God bless you. Amen.